loving kindness Jesus came, my soul and mercy, who redeemed me.
But you know, I was just thinking this morning again, you know, I have so many memories from around the time
Jordy came up the Clyne Road. John was mentioning about the Broad Road and the Narrow Road. Jordy got a picture one time,
that's
I don't know if you remember or not, but it was a picture
of
Broadway and Bonnity Fair. And then the Narrow Road, and there was only a few people in
that. Right.
I remember that picture.
Yeah, right.
Can we sing that little chorus on the Blood? Jordy just was praying up there. The Blood shall never lose its power. And
I'm
Nobody knows who I am anyway. I stuck just out the road there. I'm really privileged, like, was asked to do this here, you know, so long, like, I've never done it before, so I'm a bit nervous sometimes, but nevertheless, praise the Lord for giving me. I was brought up there just in outside Guildford, originally, Tully Dice. Brought up there, lived there until I was about 13, and then I moved up to Llanidirg. Well, I lived in Tully Dice, I was sent to the Church of Ireland school there, you know, the Sunday school. Stayed there until I was confirmed a member of that church, you know. But there was a man used to come into the Tully Dice into Knockert Park years ago, one called Noel Turkington. He had a wee meeting going in Llanidirg, for like meetings on Sunday nights for people and stuff, but he had like meetings for youngsters there. We went very old at the time, you know, up to about 10-year-old, you know. Every Sunday he'd like a carload of people going way up there, you know, thought it was powerful. Introduced you to the Bible and things out of the Bible and all, you know. Used to love to hear the stories out of the Bible at that time, you know. I thought it was powerful at that age, like, you know. Got a wee bit older, started going up to high school and Long Ridge. Sort of got away from things that I got there, you know. You weren't really as interested anymore, you know. Started smoking, thought that made you bigger than that, you know, doing that, stuff, things like that, running around. But it wasn't bad life, like, you know, I had. I wouldn't say it was, you know, you could say I was brought up in a Christian home, I'm sure you could say none of us was saved at that time, but we could say that, I suppose. We believed in God and always believed in God all my life, you know, but even when I wasn't saved, I used to pray to God about things, you know, and you would have, you know, you could have seen results, so you could have done things for you, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember at school, I can't mind, before I was sent down to the headmaster's office, I can't even mind, it's neither here nor there, you know. And he says to me, he went right out Psalm 119 there. Have you got a Bible? And he says, I think so. He says, you haven't got one, really, since play you, haven't you? So I said, I have one, I think, in the house there. So even then, when I had the right to pull Psalm out for him, I said, we have an empty one, I think it's going to be the longest. But even when I was about 15, you're writing that out, this thing jumped out of the, you know, this thing sort of jumped out of the Psalm at you, you know, surprisingly enough, when you weren't saved, you know, like even Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by turning thereto according to thy word, you know, things like that would have jumped out at you, but you couldn't, you know, really, you had no inclination to be saved at the time, but even though you're writing them things out, you know, you knew rightly you had to be sometime, like, you know. But anyway, the smoking become more of an addiction sort of a thing, you know, it wasn't a habit, maybe 15 to 20 a day, by the time you're about 17, but drink sort of come and go then, you know, come on the scene then, so one of the places in the town, you know, and the Church of Ireland that you went to and all, were sort of forgotten about and different things, you know, it ended up like I used to go by and knock up the boys, and like, it wouldn't have mattered. The women were there or not, as long as the drink was there, it didn't matter. And then boys moved on, they got married, but even after that there, I was still going into the town, you know, moving up into the different pubs and standing in the pub, even on your own, getting in and standing in the bars, like, it's not a good thing to be doing, you know, standing, getting a bus into the town, it didn't matter whose name was above the door, you just went and done it anyway. You know, I believe that we're seeking fellowship, you know, doing that there, I believe they're seeking some sort of happiness, doing that, that's all people's doing, you know, they think that, there's happiness found in that, you know, and it's easy done. You go in there and you maybe fall in with somebody, and you know, you think it's, you know, things you wouldn't have done. Only when you get drinking, you people think, you know, if it's a drag going somewhere, you just tether along and that, you know, and go along and do things that you wouldn't normally have done. You wouldn't even think of doing going to houses or people, you know, so you're led the wrong way right away, and you just keep on that lifestyle. But during that time, when I was with maybe 16, 17, 18, you know, people would have said to my dad there, he wasn't saved at the time, but you know, like going to the odd meeting here and there in the town, the Baptist, different churches around here. I'd have went to them, but you knew it was like a lump in your throat when you're sitting on it. Like, you know, you knew, you felt that God's presence, or you knew how to do something. But you just come out again, you know, and then you got a bit older. I used to knock about Nathan Abner, Nathan was saved. And, used to go to the odd meeting with him, different churches, Lurgan and places, and coming out, you know, I knew how to be saved, like, but there were things that in your heart. You right now, the lump in your throat, you couldn't talk or anything, but you come out and you just put it away. And then Nathan said to me one day, you know, the Lord will not always strive for you, you know, soon that, like, you know, he says, you ever think of doing anything better? He says, well, as long as you believe, I said, and I went on and that, you know, doing the same things again, you know, just tore on, and just got away from things, like, and, you know, you just get away from things and, sometimes there's opportunities there, and you just don't seem to realize at the time. You just went ahead and in your own way. But later on, I had worked with different jobs, so hard. Through my life, like, you know, on and off, in and out. And you didn't care about jobs. You just in and out of one and out of the other sort of thing. And I worked with you a lot of years ago on a certain job, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I was out one day. I think it was a game fire over in Mara. Seen Yule and Yule said, just got talking to him for half an hour or so. He said, we fancy going to a meeting sometime back again. We're on meetings in Donnacloney, so they were, you know. And he says himself, that wouldn't do any harm to go with him, you know, the odd meeting again. So the night before they went to the meeting, it was just a normal Saturday night, you know, start the bottom of the town and work your way up them. Different places in the town, you know, different ways, and I just felt like it was now having us come on, it wasn't that normal, you know, it was just different, and, you know, it was going to be, you knew it was something that just wasn't right, like, so, the next day I went over that afternoon, that Sunday afternoon, to the meeting in Donnacloney, and I walked in through the door, the hall, it was the nice hall there in Donnacloney, and there was a lot of people from Africa and stuff up, so there was, you know, the worship was pretty strong, and I had never sort of witnessed it before, you know. I knew greatly that God's presence was there, you know. And I knew in my heart that I had to do something, you know, that I had to do something this time, because the opportunity isn't going to be there, you know, sometime. Or God's not over there, we're going to stay from on forever.
Amen.
So Tommy was preaching that day on Noah walked with God, and it was Genesis chapter 6, 5 to 8. Verse 5 to 8, when he said that man is coming up before God, his wickedness is no more than he was going to destroy man from the face of the earth. So he was, and I thought to myself, like, you know, there's a great conviction coming with the time. And then in 2 Peter, the first world had passed away, the second world is going to be burned up, sort of thing. It was saying, and I said to myself, you know, where's the state myself? But there's one thing that jumped out of 2 Peter, and even Tommy even spoke on that day. It was God said, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And, like, I thought that was powerful at the time. And I said to myself, you know, and Tommy after the at the end of the meeting says, you know, about the opportunity of God's presence here. And so I said the sinner's prayer that day. Coming out of the meeting that day, got a bit of relief on me.
Amen.
And I thought to myself, you know, I still would have smoked a wee bit after it, and, but it was just habit after that there. There was no like desire or craving or anything for a cigarette or anything. And I ended up, I just got rid of them, you know. It used to be making something tonic more, and I used to maybe have a cigarette before I went up to it. But then after that there, you know, I just could have dropped them. There was nothing, no desire whatsoever for it to be there. But whenever, like, you look at it there, in Ephesians chapter 2, we're saved by grace, not by works. You know, it was Christ's blood that saved us, not our own works. And I thought that was powerful. You know, and it was, like, I led a life of rejection all the time, you know. No one had to do something about it, but I've still got that opportunity, but I know people may not get that opportunity. So if there's anybody not saved and hears it, they're safer taking that opportunity right away Jesus is still in the mercy seat, still even to this day.
Amen.
So he is not forever, but he's still in the mercy seat. And John was speaking on there this morning there, and I seen it there in Galatians as well, chapter 4, 6 to 7. God sent forth the Spirit of His Son, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, sonship now. You know, no longer servant, but sonship. You know, an heir, joint heir with Christ. I think that's powerful.
Amen.
But after they get saved there, the desires that I had before sort of left me, you know, I no longer desired to fellowship in the places that I had done before. Some of the people meant well in them, you know. I, even when I was going to them places, took a notion one time going to church, you know, you'd have went to church maybe once a week, two or three weeks, put a bit of a show on, you know, believing that, you know, they were doing the right thing. And sometimes even in them churches you went to, it was, you know, they would have challenged, they'd have been challenged in times as well, you know, but again, you just come out of rejection again, you know, and you held it in your head, you're doing the right thing, going to church, looking well. But it's not, God looks into your heart. And, He spoke into your heart, He spoke into my heart. And I know that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if, you know, I think he was one of the chiefest ones there too. But I thank God every day. I get up every morning and I thank Him every day, you know, for life in general, but for saving me out of all things. You know, knowing that I have everlasting life to look forward to at the end of it. And I just pray for some of my friends there. Like, a lot of people had been saved that I was friendly with and had, you know, hadn't listened to them. But now, you know, I know where I'm coming from, but I have all friends who are still unsaved, and I, you know, still pray for them as well, you know. But I thank the Lord every day on thanking that I'm saved, and I haven't really much more to add to that, you know. But, He's still the Saviour this day. And there's one of the hymns that I love to hear, I think it says it all. Jesus was shed, Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. I think it's a powerful hymn, very moving. And I think if I, you know, if anybody unsaved heard that in a meeting and had reflection on them, it would really point them to the Lord in a special way. Sometimes hymns and stuff I think can do that, you know. They're, the old ones are inspired, so they are, you know, very much so. But I'm saved now anyway, and I'm attending the meetings here, you know, on and off through the years. So have, but some people would even ask you, you know, how did you start going there, you know, and sit down, and then would just tell them, and then there's other people would say, hey, you know, you used to smoke years ago, how did you get off the fags and all, you know, you struggled to get off them and all, but just said, look, you just put your trust in the Lord, you know, the desire for them things will flee. And I know it's a simple thing, you know, smoking, you think it's take it or leave it, the drink used to be take it or leave it, but the fags weren't there a bit more than that, so they were, you know. But there's other things, I'm sure, it gets to people hiding on their lives. But whenever you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, every yoke is broken, so it is.
Amen.
And if anybody that hears this message and still hasn't been decided, people's on about a vaccine at the minute. Now, there's no harm in getting it, there's no harm in not getting it. You know, they're undecided. But this is one thing that you can't leave undecided, because it's a very important thing.
Amen.
Your destination depends on it. So you get the opportunity to meet and you meet Christ, accept Him, and His hand is outstretched to you. That's all I can say.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is
there.
Says always be ready to give reason for the hope that life is in you. It's the most important thing. You know, healing's wonderful and we believe in healing, but you could be healed and you might need to be healed again. But once you're saved, you're always saved.
Amen.
Saved for all time and saved for all eternity.
Amen.
And it's wonderful. You know, it touches me when I hear of the different testimonies of people that has got saved. When you look back and you maybe don't think of it, and then you look back, and I can remember the day Brother Ewell brought Terry, and you know the thing that stood out for me, Terry came in a suit that day, and you know, some, not that you have to come in a suit, but Terry came prepared. You know, he came in the suit and all, he was well dressed. And we just give God the glory, don't we?
Amen.
For salvation. Salvation's of the utmost importance. We want to turn this evening to Hebrews chapter 9, and I just want to speak for a few moments this evening on the blood of the covenant. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Down, and maybe we could stand for the reading of the Word of God. And the Lord bless those this evening that's tuned in. We do give you a warm welcome and greetings. In the name of the Lord tonight. Let's read from verse 11 of Hebrews 9 down to verse 18. But Christ becoming high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is a mediator of a new testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Let us just bow for a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for Brother Terry's testimony. We thank you, Lord, that you've saved him for all time and all eternity. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, I would ask this evening that you'll save others, that you'll speak on to men and women, boys and girls, that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and strive and move upon men and women's hearts and open their understanding to the saving knowledge of the truth. We thank thee with open access this evening into your presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, I need you tonight, and I do take the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Eternal redemption. I think that's a tremendous phrase, a tremendous statement. Eternal redemption, eternal inheritance. When a man or woman is saved, they're saved for eternity. Eternal redemption and eternal inheritance. Praise God. Thank God this evening for eternal redemption. Thank God this evening for eternal inheritance. There's nothing we heard this morning, and our brother John really preached well this morning, and he really enjoyed the Word of God this morning.
Amen.
And we saw that ourselves, as men, as women, we can do nothing from our own strength. And I think of Romans when I think of that, for the Bible says, when we were yet without strength, Romans chapter 5. And we were like little babies, we couldn't do nothing for ourselves. But when we were yet without strength, in due time, or at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
And every one of us were ungodly, and every one of us without God, and every one of us were at a distance from God. A brother Terry was at a distance, but God, by the Holy Spirit, began to move upon him.
Amen.
Even when he went to the pub and he said he didn't feel right, that was the Spirit of God moving on him.
Amen.
And it was the Spirit of God that drew him. And it was the Spirit of God that opened his understanding. And then when he did his part, which was calling, God saved him.
Amen.
And there's God's part and there's our part. And we know that God has done his part through Christ on the cross.
and wave apart. The testament, you know, here was powerless without blood. It's of no power without blood. Even in this Old Testament, when you study the Old Testament, everything was sprinkled by the blood. Both the books and the people and the instruments and the veil and the tabernacle were sprinkled with blood.
Amen.
And the blood sprinkling is a requirement in Scripture. Blood sprinkling, blood speaking. Thank God the blood speaks. Thank God for the sprinkling of the blood. Like a car without fuel. You can have the car, but you need the fuel for the car. And you can have a word, but you need the blood of the Lamb to make that do something. We need the testament, then we need the blood. Hebrews 9, verse 18 to 22. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Moses, when he came to dedicating the tabernacle, used blood. Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, used blood. Everywhere, through the whole Bible, there's a red scarlet line of blood that runs through the whole Bible. Here I have a little red ribbon in my Bible. And I've got a couple of my dad's Bible, and this ribbon come out of my father's Bible. And it's in the scripture. For the wee woman let down the scarlet thread. And the scarlet thread was a sign of the blood. And there is a red thread through the whole of scripture. You know, the gospel is a bloody gospel.
Amen.
It's a bloody message. And if it's not a bloody message, you've actually no message at all. Spurgeon says if a man doesn't preach the blood,
right,
never go to hear him.
Amen.
If he doesn't preach the blood. The Bible speaks of the blood. The preacher must speak of the blood. For when Moses had spoken, every priest after all the people according to law, he took the blood of calves and goats and the one with water, scarlet wool, hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people. So he used the book and he used the blood. And we must use the book, and the book is the word of God. And then when we use the book, we need the blood.
Amen.
And it is the blood that makes this book powerful. And it is the blood that makes this book effective. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses
right
from all sin.
Amen.
Verse 20 says, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined you. Moreover, he sprinkled both the blood, tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things of the law is purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission, no removal. The blood had to be shed so that sins could be forgiven.
Amen.
Purged here means purified. The only thing that can purify you, the only thing that can purify me, is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is a cleaner and a cleanser and a purifier.
Amen.
William Branham called it the bleach of the blood of Jesus. And he used for an example, if you have a bucket of bleach, pure bleach, and he said if you dropped one drop of ink into the bucket of bleach, the bleach would annihilate the ink completely. You would not see no ink in the bleach because the bleach would wipe it out. And the Bible says, so are your sins removed as far as the east is from the west. No longer to be remembered against you no more. The sins of your youth are gone because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The words are so true. There's power in the blood. Hebrews 10:18 says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. No more offering for sin. I tell you, if you go past this, there's no hope. If you go past Calvary and the blood of Christ, there's no hope. The church can't save you. A movement can't save you. It's only through the blood of Christ you can be saved.
Amen.
Exodus 24, 3 to 4 tells us, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord. And all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar up under the hill, and 12 pillars. We know that represents the 12 tribes of Israel. According to the 12 tribes of Israel. And the people responsibility. Every man and woman, when you hear the word of God, has a responsibility. Just like we have natural responsibilities. A husband's a responsibility to the wife, his children, and so forth. But every person that hears God's word has a responsibility. When you're not come under judgment till you hear it, but when you come under hearing it, you have something to do about it. You have responsibility in what you're going to do with it. That responsibility was to agree to keep the law. They had to agree what Moses said. All agreed to keep the law. Moses spoke all the words. And they wrote them down. And it is called the Book of the Covenant. You know, this Old Testament's a Book of the Covenant. And we heard about the rainbow this morning. And God gave the rainbow to Noah as a sign and as a covenant. And God swore that he'd never flood the whole world again. There will be countries flooded, we know that, in places, but never the world. Because of God's covenant promise. God never breaks promise. How many knows that? How many knows he said he could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself in Hebrews, by two immutable things, which it is impossible for God to lie. What's the rest say? That we might have strong consolation to lay hold upon the hope set before us. He's a God of covenant. But the people had a responsibility. Exodus 24, 5 to 8. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins and half of the blood and he sprinkled it on the doors, on the altars. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord have said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning these words. The book of the covenant is God's promise. God has given us a promise in his word, but we must obey it. We have a responsibility. You know, the Bible talks about those that heard the word, but they've done nothing with it. And there's people that can hear the word, and something will take place. They'll respond. But there's other people who will not respond to the word. To not respond to the word will produce death. But when you respond to the word, it produces life. Amen. It's God's promise. The people agreed. They took on the responsibility. Two parties in agreement. And you must come into agreement with the word of God. When you hear the word, you must come into agreement with the word of God. Salvation and healing. And you must agree that God will heal you. A lot of people think God can't heal, but the Bible says he can. Amen. 85% of the ministry of Jesus is based on healing. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The preacher with a collar might say, the Lord does do it, but I'm not interested in him. I'm only interested in the absolute.
That's right, amen.
Which is the word of God.
Amen.
That's the word of God. No man's your absolute, only the word of God. Hebrews 9, verse 19 to 20. For Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, and he took the book of the calves and water and scarlet and sprinkled both the book of the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God have enjoined unto you. The blood tied both parties together. A brother Terry heard the word of God, but he responded. He responded to it. He responded to the word of God. Then he done his part, and he called. And the Bible says, if you'll call upon me in the last days, you'll be saved. You know, there's a lot of preachers preaching mercy's over. But I'm glad mercy's not over.
Amen.
I'm glad the word of God says the mercy of the Lord will endure forever.
Amen.
And I'm glad he's still a savior. And he's still a healer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There had to be the death of the Lamb. Christ died. Just like there had to be a death of a lamb in the time of Moses to sprinkle the blood or one of them other animals he Word of God.
Amen.
Now I couldn't look out over the airwaves or tonight and say, well, he'll come and he'll not come. Who knows? But I'm preaching it to everyone.
Amen.
Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word covenant is no use without blood. With blood, the covenant is force. That's what makes the word of God so effective. It's the life of the blood.
Amen.
And that's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit, you know.
Amen.
Because Romans says, if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead
Amen.
Dwells in you, it will quicken.
Amen.
That means make alive
Amen.
Your mortal body.
Amen.
We need the blood, but we also need the word of God. We need them both. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things and silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. This is one of my all-time favorite verses in all of the Bible. This verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ,
Amen.
As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's a sinless, the blameless Son of God. Hallelujah. We're talking about an eternal redemption here. Eternal redemption. Christ's blood of Christ. No original sin in it. That means that Jesus wasn't born a sinner. He was born a Savior. I'm going to say it again.
Amen.
Jesus was not born a sinner. He was born a Savior.
Amen.
Even in his birth, they said, thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Amen.
For he will save his people
Amen.
From their sin.
Amen.
We were born sinners,
Amen.
But he was born a Savior of no one but sinners.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. So therefore death had no claim on Christ. I know I tell you that. Here in these meetings we're familiar with these statements, but other people never preach it. They don't know what this is about, you know.
That's right, amen.
Death had no claim on Christ. Because Christ, the Bible says, we're born in sin, shame, and iniquity. But Christ was God manifested in flesh.
Yes,
he condescended, that means he lowered himself a little lower than the angel. He took upon him the form of man, and he went the whole way to Calvary.
Yes.
He said, a part of every life down, a part of take it up again.
Right.
There was no sin in him. Now here's the thing. There was sin in you and sin in me. Death has a claim on every man and woman because of sin. Death has a claim because of sin. But death had no claim on Christ because he was sinless. His blood was unadulterated blood.
Amen.
Didn't the Pharisees say to Jesus, we're not born after adultery? They knew what original sin was. Not a Christian's don't. That's what they said to them. We're not born after adultery. But Christ's blood was pure. Death had no claim on him. Death had a claim on every other man. But Christ willingly stepped into death. He challenged death. He took on death. And he conquered death. He conquered hell. And he conquered the grave. And he rose up and he gave gifts on the man.
Amen. Amen.
He plundered hell. Then he went populate heaven. What a Reinhard Bonnke's favorite fans to love it. He plundered hell that he might populate heaven.
Amen.
And I tell you, Christ plundered hell
Amen.
That he might populate heaven. He broke the bars asunder and he rose triumphant o'er the fall.
Amen.
You know, the Old Testament saints was held in a realm, a place called Abraham's bosom. They couldn't come out of it till Christ rose. The blood had to be shed before they would come out. They were held there. Can you picture it when he went down into them? Because the word of God says he preached to those in captivity. Job seen him. Job said, here he is. I see him coming in. This is the one I told you about. This is the one I mentioned. I know my Redeemer liveth and I shall see him.
Amen.
Here he is.
Amen.
You know, a great preacher said he stepped up to the devil. And he said, Satan, get back into the whatever corner he could get into. And he had the keys on his side. You know, I preached this once in Africa and I got on top of the table. I sent a fella to get me three big keys. And he says, you want three keys? I said, I need three keys for the meeting tonight. And he says, three keys? What are you opening? I said, you'll see when it happens. And he got me three keys to get onto the table. But you know, the devil hid in the corner of the keys, the sign, but Jesus stepped up and rid him of the keys. He took them off him. He took the keys off the devil of death, of hell, and the grave. Hallelujah! His blood is a claimer for everyone. None of our loss that thou hast given me. All that's going to be saved, he'll save. Hallelujah! We must preach it to all. And Christ will reach everyone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're talking about eternal redemption, precious blood. Romans 3:25-26, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation. You hear you all praying this word often, a propitiation. Set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. He took our place. He appeased God. He satisfied God. We could never do that. He done it for us. Hallelujah. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth on Jesus. As soon as you believe on Jesus, you are justified with Jesus Christ. He's the one that justifies you. Do you know what that means? It's as if you've never done it. Ain't that wonderful? That's amazing grace right there. He looks at you as if you've never done it. Doesn't matter where you've slept, what drink you've took, what you've smoked, brother. Jesus cleanses you. And he justifies you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's people are justified people. You know, many times you could try and justify yourself and things, and it's a struggle, isn't it? But Christ justifies you.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Justified. We can only be cleansed by something that's clean. Christ's blood is clean, pure, unadulterated blood of the Lamb. Without the blood, no remission of sin. That's why Christ's blood is called precious blood. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He'll not leave a wee bit. Now, there's a man, and I love him, the pieces, you know that. And he sings 99 and a half, won't do. And it's a good song, maybe, but the Lord never leaves a half. How many knows that? When the Lord cleanses you, he cleanses you from all sin. He doesn't leave out of it. You know the blood cleanses you completely. How many believe that in this meeting hall?
Amen. Hallelujah.
You believe the blood leaves a bit? I don't. I believe when he washes you, he cleanses you completely. Now, I believe God wants 100% commitment. I believe that. He wants us to give it all. Praise God. We have a responsibility that we walk in the light of glory. We have a responsibility. Every man and every woman has a responsibility. And we know Zechariah 14:7 says, there shall be light at the evening time. We are living at the evening time, the end time, in the last day. Signs are around us everywhere. We heard this morning about the floods, about the fires, and all these strange things that's happening in the world. Signs of the times are everywhere.
Amen.
And hear this evening. God has already sent investigating angels at this end time. God has sent investigating angels. Just like he did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Investigating angels
Amen.
Have been sent. He's searching through the earth tonight. You say searching through the earth, yes. And he's looking for those that have faith. Those that have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Thank God tonight, you're going to have faith when you believe in the Lord. Once you believe in the Lord, Romans says to every one of us is given a measure of faith.
Amen.
Let me clearly say this evening, the light's flashing. The light's flashing in this world. All the things that's happening is a flashing light. It's time to walk in the light. We're living in a time where God promised the return of Christ, and he promised a full restoration of all things before he comes. Do you know that? That's what he said in Matthew 17. Elias shall truly first come and restore all things. We're living in a time of restoration. We believe in what the apostles had.
Amen.
Can happen today. Restoration.
Amen.
The apostolic ministry can Amen. Still be here.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Christ is still the same.
Amen.
And he's never changed.
Hallelujah.
He's a Savior. He's a healer. He's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And he is the coming King.
Amen.
Restoration. I'm almost finished. 1 John 1 verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Only a pure, sinless life can cleanse you. My life couldn't cleanse you. Another brother's life couldn't cleanse you or save you. But it'll take something that's superior. And that something that's superior is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
The person
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He can cleanse you. Ephesians 5:26, and this is my last scripture, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That's why God forbids to touch that word. God forbids that you add to it. God forbids you take from it in Revelation 22. If you put a creed in place of this word, you've hybrid it. And once you have bred it, it won't do what it says here it'll do, because it's not this, it's something else. The true word of God will clean you. It's a cleaner. Jesus says you're clean through the words I've spoken unto you. But when man injects his creed in, he's hybrid it.
Right.
It's no longer original. We heard this morning, spoken word is the original seed. God said,
Amen.
And it came forth. God spoke and it happened. God's true word cleans us. His precious blood washes us whiter than the snow. And we can't mix it. Friend, this evening you have a responsibility. Christ has paid the ultimate price for salvation. But every man and every woman, as we heard a brother Terry say, he got away from it, but thank God he brought him. Maybe you're listening in this service tonight. Have you made a decision? Are you serving the Lord? Maybe you're saved, but you're stuck. There's a lot of Christians saved and stuck. Well, I want you to get unstuck.
Amen.
Want you to get the joy of your salvation back.
Amen.
Want you to pray like the one in the Bible. That God would restore the joy of full salvation.
Amen.
The Lord loves the backslider, you know. The Bible says he's forever married to the backslider. Backslider this evening, where are you? The Lord loves you. He can restore you. If you'll only come afresh to him. Let us stand our feet and bow our heads this evening. Anyone this evening, I want to give opportunity. And I know I can't see you all who's out or tuned in, but if you're not saved, call on the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Confess him. Admit and acknowledge your sins to him, and he'll cleanse and wash you in his blood. If there's any in this room tonight, you'd say, brother, will you pray for me? Will you slip your hand up to the Lord? And I'm going to pray for you. And anyone listening in and you want prayer, just believe as we close in prayer that God will bless you and touch you this evening. Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Father, I ask you this evening for deciding grace. Save that man. Save that woman. save that boy and girl. Lord, touch those that need your healing touch. We pray for the nurses and the doctors, that you bless them and keep them. And we ask for those in authority, like we heard this morning, that you'll give them wisdom, for they need it. Grant them wisdom and guidance, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless your own people, Israel. Amen. And oh God, help us to be the people that you want us to be. We love you tonight because you first loved us. Accept now our praise and thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for a man this evening that went for a checkup. Lord, I pray that all be well. You know his name, Lord. I'm asking you, you'll cover him with the blood tonight. Bless every brother and every sister under this roof. Save all of our children. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, I pray for Brother Jordy and his precious wife. Ask you as they go back to England, that you'll be with them, that you'll bless them, amen, that you'll use them as bright lights.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless them. In Jesus' precious name, I bless all that's under this roof and listening in tonight, in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as our brother Gary comes.
Maybe we can sing about him at a time, saying he was his favourite. Jesus was slain for me. Lord, we wouldn't even have a desire to be here should we not have the knowledge that Jesus was slain for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have indeed the knowledge tonight of sins forgiven because of thy precious blood which was shed. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as one preacher said, the blood can't be put back. It's been released.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing the devil can do about it.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that that was that great and wonderful day at Calvary.
Amen.
Lord, we are glad for it, Lord, this evening, Lord. Lord, nothing else would matter. If it had been for Calvary, Lord, we would have no hope at all. Lord, we thank you, Lord, by your death and your burial and your resurrection, we have confidence and hope in you this evening, and we have blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Lord, we're glad this evening that we have, Lord, security tonight, a place in heaven because of your obedience and your death and your risen life. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you place us in your own body. And we thank you, Lord, that not only do you do that, but we thank you that you keep us and you preserve us from day to day, even as your word has said tonight, on eternal redemption. We thank you, Lord, that even before we were known of our parents, even before we were even conceived in the thoughts of our parents, Lord, you knew us before the foundation of the world. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you, Lord, prepared us, Lord, predestinated us, Lord, and you called us to be the sons and the daughters of God. Lord, we give you thanks for that. Lord, who could say why you chose me? Who could claim why you done it? Lord Jesus, you done it, and I thank you for it. Lord, for I, my own self, was totally helpless, as was every man and woman. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that your election is sure.
Hallelujah.
And Lord Jesus Christ, we just ask you now, Lord God, that you bless each one that's in this place tonight. Bless each one that's listening in. And let not one person ever think to themselves that maybe God hasn't chosen me. For us, we even heard this evening, not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Indeed, Lord, your word says that God, in a time of ignorance, God winked that, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And Lord, all we have to do is be obedient to your word. And Lord, if we are obedient, Lord, we shall look and live. Lord Jesus, we just ask you now this evening that you bless each one that's here. Lord, as we go from this place, bless each one, take them to their places of their abode and safety. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll grant each one traveling mercies. And we pray thee for Jordy again and for his wife, Lord, as they travel to England, Lord, that you'll set straight paths before their feet
Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help them to be,
Lord,
a bright shining light wherever they go in the lovely name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Bless and prosper them. In Jesus' name we ask it. Lord God, now we just ask you to part us with your blessing, which maketh rich, and out of no sorrow, in the lovely name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. There's another hymn we could maybe try and sing. If I can just remember how it goes. Just ask me, Dave. Another one about Calvary, but forget it. Well, try and sing a different little chorus. Ask me, Dave, isn't he wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? And we'll have to sing next week and I remember what it is.